right, go ahead and take your Bibles this evening. Open back up to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And continuing our study here on developing a biblical worldview. And last week we were looking at who is involved in developing a biblical worldview. And we saw, according to surveys done with young people, they gave the top five influences in their lives. Again, this is young people, not adults, but these are young people. And anybody remember that the top influence was who?
Parents,
right? Parents were the top influence, number one influence, young people's life. Who's the second one? Relatives, but typically being the grandparents, right? They were the second most influential in people's young people's lives. And then the third was teachers and coaches. Very good, all right? Teachers and coaches, that was the third that they gave. And then the fourth was
friends,
right? The fourth was friends or peers. That was the fourth one. And the fifth one that was listed was what? Pastors and religious leaders. Man, I'm telling you. These young people up front, they really listened. Man, I'm impressed. You guys taking notes? All right. I expect you to take notes tonight, too. I'll be watching. All right. Let's see. Okay. But yeah, so those are the top five influencers that young people have in their lives, right? Again, you know, there's a whole aspect of social media and, you know, and popular people like sports figures and movie stars and things like that. But in this particular survey that Barna did, these were the top five influences in the lives of young people. Parents, relatives, typically being grandparents, teachers, coaches, friends, and then pastors and religious leaders. And then we looked last week at there are two main institutions that God has ordained that need to be helping to develop the worldview of young people, right? And the first institution that God ordained to help develop the worldview of young people is what?
The home.
The home, right? The home. That's the first place that God ordained. That's the first place that evangelism needs to take place. That's the first place that discipleship needs to be being done is in the home, right? And then the second place that's to come along and support this would be what? The church. Right? The church. That's the second place, right? Now, again, I think in our society, we've got these backwards, right? We think the church is the primary place for evangelism and discipleship, and the home is kind of supposed to come along and support that. That's not biblical at all. That's just the opposite, right? And so it's so vital, it's so important that we understand that the home and the church really are the places that discipleship need to be being done and helping young people develop their worldview. But there's also another institution that is working to develop a child's worldview that many times we don't like to talk about, or we may not even think that this institution is working to develop a child's worldview. Anybody know what that would be? Be what? School? Education. Right? Education. Okay? And we're going to look a little bit about this tonight. And I know young people, you know, I love it when young people use the Bible and they're excited about Scripture. But sometimes young people can try to twist Scripture for their own benefit. You ever known young people to do that, right? So talking about education, you ever had a young person use Ecclesiastes 12:12? And further by these, my son, and this is Solomon, the wisest man, be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh, right? You ever had your kids use that on you? You know, hey, Solomon, the wisest man, said, shouldn't read a lot and, you know, studying a lot, that's just a weariness to the flesh. Or how about Acts 26:24, right? And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You know, so we shouldn't have a lot of school, right? We're going to go crazy, right? I don't think that's quite what those verses mean, okay? All right? I think education is good. It's important, right? To an extreme. I think you can go a little bit far with that. But here's something that's very interesting. between the, I don't know if you call kindergarten a grade, but between kindergarten and 12th grade, between kindergarten and 12th grade, anybody know how much time a child will spend in schools and education between kindergarten and 12th grade? They'll spend 16,000 hours. Yeah, he's like, that's too much. 16,000 hours from kindergarten to 12th grade. According to the National Education Association, children spend 7.5 hours per day in school, and this is based on the normal 36-week school program. That's 37.5 hours a week at school, right? And again, that's not counting extracurricular activities and sports and all that stuff that's involved with the school, right? So 37.5 hours at school. How much time does a young person spend at church? Now, if they are what we would consider, you know, really faithful, in other words, they're here for Sunday school, they're here for Sunday morning, they're here for Sunday night, they're here for Wednesday night, you say, well, that's 4 hours. So 4 hours a week they're spending in church. They say, not at our church, it's a whole lot longer than that, but yeah. Typically, about 4 hours. So think about this, 37.5 hours a week at school compared to 4 hours a week at church, if they go to all the services, right? Again, that's, in a year, that's 1,350 hours a year compared to 208 at church, if you attend all four services, right? And again, the odds are even greater if it's not the 4 hours a week. If it's just once a week, as many families, many Christian young people do, just once Sunday, once a week, that's only 52 hours a year compared to 1,300 in school and education and things, right? And so we're gonna look at this tonight, but God has given parents, again, the responsibility to teach their children. Again, look here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, as God is giving this instruction about what to teach your children. This is what he says in verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. So God is giving parents the responsibility of teaching their children, discipling their children, helping their children come up with a worldview, right? And obviously, if a person is teaching them these things, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, we would think that they would be working to teach a biblical worldview. We're going to look at the world through the lens of the Bible, through the Word of God. And so God has given that responsibility to parents. Now, again, obviously, you know, many families send their children to school or something like that. But if a parent is sending their children to school, whether it's public school, private school, whatever kind of school it is, it's the parent's responsibility to make sure that what is being taught continues to build upon the biblical principles that are being taught in the home and in the church, right? And please understand, I'm not advocating for a specific type of education here tonight, right? I'm not advocating for public school. I'm not advocating for private school. I'm not advocating for Christian school. I'm not advocating for homeschool, right? Because I can take you and show you some public school kids that are serving God with their whole heart. I can take you to Christian schools and show you kids that care nothing about God. I can take you to homeschool kids that care nothing about God, right? So I'm not advocating for one. So don't leave here thinking, oh, pastor's against public schools or Christian schools or homeschool. No, I'm not. That's not. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our responsibility as parents in making sure that wherever we send our children to school, whether that's public, private, Christian, or even homeschool, just because you're homeschooling doesn't mean you're helping your kids learn biblical principles, right? Again, there's many homeschool and Christian school and kids that they don't care anything about God. Why? Because of the parents. It's not the kid's fault, it's the parents' fault, right? Because the parents didn't take the responsibility to check and make sure that what they're being taught is falling in line with biblical principles, right? So I'm not advocating for one over another this evening, okay? So don't confuse that tonight, right? But if a parent chooses to send their child to a school, whether public, Christian, private, or homeschool, it is the parent's responsibility to make sure that what is being taught continues to build upon the biblical principles that are being taught in the home and in the church. And unfortunately, in much of the education system today, what is being taught does not build upon biblical principles. What's being taught in much of the education system today has nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with God, right? And again, you can say, well, you know, that's public school and private school. Look, there's a lot of Christian schools that have taken God out. They're called Christian schools, but they don't have anything to do with God, right? There's a lot of homeschools that homeschoolers has nothing to do with God, right? They're not really concerned about God, right? So again, don't think that this is just one institution, public school or whatever. No, it's in the whole education system. And that's why it's so important that we check and make sure that what is being taught is building upon biblical principles, right? Here's the thing we have to understand. Education is never, again, no matter what education it is, education is never worldview neutral, nor is it religious neutral. You say, education is, it's got to be religious neutral. Oh, no, it's not. Education is not religious neutral. Education is not worldview neutral, right? You say, well, obviously, if you send your kids to a Christian school, obviously, it's going to be a biblical worldview. No, not necessarily. People say, well, just the opposite. Well, if you send your kids to a public school, obviously, it's going to be a secular worldview, right? And this is where we have to come back and say, now, wait a minute, what is being taught, right? What is happening in the education system? Because when God is not part of a child's education for 13 years from kindergarten to high school, if God's not part of the education system, then when God is not connected to math, when God is not connected to science, when God is not connected to history and to government, when God is not connected to business, then what happens is that children simply assume God is not relevant to anything other than church on Sunday. And that's what's happening in our society. God is simply relevant only in church, right? We've kept God out of the schools. Math, what does math have to do with God? Science, what does science have to do with God? History, what does history have to do with God? The government, what does the government have to do with God? I mean, what does any of this have to do with God? So let's just keep God out of all of this, and let's just teach what we want to teach. Well, you have to understand, by removing God, you're not removing religion. Just because you've removed God from the aspect does not mean you're removing religion, and I'll prove that to you in just a second, right? And again, I'm just going to restate this. I'm not advocating for one type of education over another, okay? Because the real issue is not the type of school that you choose for your children. The issue is, what is the philosophy behind the type of schooling? What's the philosophy behind it, right? Again, all schooling is either based on one or of two philosophies. It's either based on a secular philosophy or it's based on a biblical philosophy. That's it. It's either based on secular or it's based on biblical. So you have to determine the education that my child is getting, the lectures and the classes that are being taught, are they being taught a secular or are they being taught biblical, right? In all of this, okay? Because secular ignores or denies the existence of God and teaches a child to develop a secular worldview. If your child is in a public school, or private school, then you have to know that they are going to be immersed in humanism. They're going to be immersed in secularism. And you have to know what it is so that you can identify it to be able to train your child to reject it, right? Don't take my word for it, all right? I'm going to read what two people have said. And these two people have kind of been influential in the public school system and things. This was a man by the name of John Dunphy. He had an article in what is called The Humanist. That ought to tell you something right there. And this is what he said. He said, "I am convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role," now listen to this, "as the proselytizers of a new faith, a religion of humanity that recognizes the spark of what theologians call divinity in every human being. Their teachers must embody the same selfless dedication of the most rabid fundamental preacher, for they will be ministers of another sort, utilizing a classroom instead of a pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subject they teach, regardless of the education level, preschool, daycare, or large state universities." By the way, they're not hiding it. It's very clear what they're trying to do. They're trying to indoctrinate children into a secular, humanistic worldview, right? Another humanist, Charles Potter, wrote this: "Education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism, and every American school is a school of humanism." What can a theistic Sunday school meeting for an hour once a week and teaching on a fraction of the children do to stem the tide of the five-day program of humanistic teaching? They get it. They don't care if kids go to Sunday school 1 hour a week, because they got them all week long. They got them almost 40 hours a week. It's going to be so simple for them to undo what was taught in 45 minutes or an hour on Sunday. They got them 5 days a week. And what's happening is because parents who are Christians are not recognizing what education is doing, because again, it's not worldview neutral. It's not religious neutral. They're just there for an education. That might be why you have them there for an education, but that's not why the school is there. The school is there to indoctrinate your children one way or the other. That's what it is, right? You know why there are Christian schools? Because they want to help indoctrinate kids to be Christians, to know the Bible. That's why, right? We shouldn't be ashamed of that. That's what a Christian school is there for, right? We have our co-op, right? We're not ashamed of it. It's the Preble County Christian Co-op. Guess what the first thing that we do when we have our co-op? We teach the Bible. I mean, we do pray, but we teach, that's the main thing. We teach the Bible. And it's even in our, you want to skip Bible? You can't be part of co-op. You can't just skip the Bible and then just come to the classes later on. No, you've got to be in the Bible lessons. You've got to be in the teaching. Why? That's our purpose. We're trying to teach young people that may not know about Jesus. We're trying to teach them about Jesus. We're trying to teach the parents who are sitting in the backs listening sometimes that maybe they'll catch something. Look, we're not trying to hide it. I mean, before they even join the co-op, they have to read everything that we believe. They read about what we believe about salvation and eternal security. They have to read all those things. They know this is what we're going to teach. And by the way, the world does the same thing. The world's not trying to hide it. Look, they're saying, oh, we'll give them a better education. You know, we'll give them really good education. But in the whole process of it, guess what they're trying to do? They're trying to indoctrinate them into a humanistic, secular worldview. Humanists want to marginalize God. They want to make the Bible irrelevant to everyday life. They're trying to erode the faith of believers. Let me just give you some examples here, right? Let's compare a little bit here, right? Let's do a little bit of comparison here. Christianity says that God exists and that he is the creator of all things. Why do we say that? Because of Genesis 1:1. I think one of the young people quoted it tonight. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? God, he created it all. right? We believe what the Bible teaches, that God exists and that he is the creator and center of all things. Well, what does the secular humanists believe? They believe that God does not exist. There is no God, right? In fact, they believe not that God is the center of everything, but man is the center of all things. You're the most important one, right? Wait a minute, that goes completely contrary to what the Bible teaches. By the way, they know that. They know it, right? Again, like these guys said, look, we're trying to use the teachers. Again, let me just go back and read what John Dunphy said here, right? He says, this war, this battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers of a new faith, a religion of humanity. A religion of humanity. Not about God, not about Jesus, but about man, right? And by the way, let me just say, and again, I'm not promoting one education system over the other, right? And I know there are some wonderful teachers that work in public schools and in Christian schools that love God, and they're trying to do the best that they can in that system. And praise God for that, right? I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to put one over the other. But we have to realize that in most of the public school system, most of the a lot of these private school systems, that it's not about teaching the Bible, right? It's a humanistic secular worldview. Christianity says, again, God created everything. Well, the humanist, the secular, says the universe just came about by random chance, right? They talked about the Big Bang Theory. They talk about all kinds of different evolution and all this kind of stuff. Right? It's all just by chance. It's all just by chance, okay? There's so much that you can look at in the world, right? And you can see that there is a designer in it. And yet, they refuse to see it. It's all just some random cosmic chance, right? We're just part of the evolutionary process. I love creation because, again, the Bible says that creation declares God's glory, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. You just look at creation. I think I was talking last Bible breakfast we had with the men. We were talking about some of my favorite animals that deal with, like, creation and evolution, right? That it's just like it doesn't make sense. I don't know how many of you know what a giraffe is. Yeah. I'm not talking about Shane, okay? I'm talking about an actual giraffe, all right? So, I don't know if you know this, but a giraffe is kind of tall. You ever notice that, right? Have you ever done this? And most of us, you know, again, I would say most of us in here are probably not as tall as a giraffe. But have you ever done this where you stood up really fast, and all of a sudden you're just like, whoa, what happened, right? You get a little bit fuzzy, a little wobbly, right? Because you stood up too fast, right? So get this in your mind, right? That happens to us, okay? Can you imagine a giraffe 14 feet tall, right? Yeah. 14 feet tall, right? And he's at the river, he's at this oasis where there's water, and he spreads his front legs out because he's so tall. He's got to spread his front legs out a little bit. His head comes down, and he's drinking water. And all of a sudden, across the way, he sees or senses that there's a lion. What do you think this giraffe is going to do? He's going to lift his head up super fast, and he's going to fall over because all the blood rushed to his head, and now he just fell over, and now he's lion. He's dinner for lions. You know that God made something in a giraffe's brain? God put a sponge in a giraffe's brain to soak up the blood so that when he raises up that fast, he doesn't get lightheaded and fall over and become dinner for a lion. That just happened. Well, the problem is the first giraffe that happened to didn't have the sponge, right? because he didn't know he needed the sponge, and he fell over dead, the lion ate him, and there's no more giraffes. You see how illogical that is, right? How did a giraffe know that he needs a sponge in his brain to soak up the blood so he doesn't get lightheaded when he raises up, right? One of my favorite insects, and again, I like these just because it's not like giraffes are my favorite animal. They're just amazing how God created them, right? Is called the bombardier beetle. The bombardier beetle is an awesome thing. You know why? How many of you know that I kind of like fire? Yeah. The bombardier beetle is like a pyromaniac. Seriously, right? The bombardier beetle, anybody not heard of a bombardier beetle? Some of you never heard of a bombardier beetle. Oh, tonight, bombardier beetle is going to be Googled, right? Bombardier beetle. It's so fascinating. This little insect, right? This little insect has two chambers in its backside area, okay? There's two chambers back there, right? It contains two chemicals. This little beetle has two chemicals in its body, and he knows to mix just the right amount of these two chemicals to create an explosion. And this explosion stuns the enemy that's coming by, stuns them because of the explosion. They weren't expecting an explosion from a little beetle, right? There's an explosion, and it gives the little beetle a chance to run away and hide. Now, again, here's the problem, right? This beetle, he's like, oh, I got these two chemicals. Let me mix them together. No more beetle. No more bombardier beetle. I mean, how does this insect that's probably no bigger than your thumb know the precise amount of these two chemicals to mix together to create an explosion? I can tell you. God. There's a designer there. And those are just two examples. I mean, there are so many. I mean, you can just look at your body. Look at the human body. It's a marvel. Oh no, it's just all by chance. No, God created it. God, you look at all the things. We believe that God has created everything, and yet they just say the universe came by random chance. Over millions and millions of years, just random chance. It's not possible. It's not possible at all. Creationists believe that God created man in his image for a purpose. We talked about that this morning. Is that the bombardier beetle? Thank you. Cool, look at that. It's shooting an explosion, right? I'm telling you, some of you are gonna Google it tonight. You're gonna find out about this beetle, right? Okay, you can take the picture down now. Thank you. All right. So God created man in his image for a purpose. Again, we talked about this a little bit this morning, right? We exist to glorify God. It's not what the humanist says. The secularist says we exist for no purpose other than to fulfill our own happiness. It's just about us. What makes me happy? It's all I got to do is just find out what makes me happy, right? The Christian believes that man has sinned and rebelled against God. The secular humanist believes that humanity is good. Everybody's good. We're all good. You know, some may be better than others, but we're all good. We're all really good deep down inside. No, we're not. We're all wicked. We're all evil. By the way, if we were all good, do you think we'd have to have laws? Do you know why we have laws? Because we're not good. That's why we have laws, right? Because we're not good, okay? Because if there wasn't a law that said, don't do this, we'd be doing it, right? You see, they just say, well, humanity is good. No, it's not. The Christian says morality comes from God and it is revealed in his word. The humanist says morality is relative. You decide what is moral. There is no absolute standard of right and wrong. You just decide what is right for you. Yeah, that's going to be a big problem. Big problem there. It's interesting how they want to say this, right? They want to say, well, you decide what's right and wrong, but then when you do something that they don't like, all of a sudden you're wrong. Wait a minute, I thought there was no absolutes. I thought it's relative. It's whatever you want. No, it's only whatever you want until it goes against what they want. So who's really setting the moral standard here? They are. They're trying to, right? God says, no, you don't set the moral standard. God says, I do. I set what the moral standard is. I set what is right. I set what is wrong. I set what is true. I set what is false. Why? Because God is the only one that is true. God's the only one that speaks truth, right? A Christian says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and salvation comes only by faith in Jesus Christ. The humanist says Jesus is not God. The humanist says you can save yourself. You have the ability. You're good. You do it your own. You do it your way. You want to believe there's a heaven? Fine. Again, it's up to you. You don't want to believe there's a heaven? That's fine. You don't have to believe there's a heaven. So if you want to believe there's heaven, then you decide how you want to get there. Wait a minute. No, God says there's one way. Period. Only one, right? Christianity says death is because of sin, and every person will either go to heaven or go to hell. There's either eternal life or eternal death, either life with God or separation from God. The humanist says death is simply the end of all existence. There's nothing after death. So you might as well just live life up to the fullest now. You might as well enjoy it now, because after this, you just go back to that whole process of evolution, right? It's all going to go back. Wait a minute. You understand, Christianity, as we pull our beliefs from the Word of God and we see a biblical worldview, we see it's all centered around God. The humanists, the secular humanists, they really have nothing to believe, and so they make up their own beliefs. They make up their own way, and they said, well, this is what we're going to do. And by the way, can I say that to a world that is lost, the secular human view sounds better, because you just get to decide, right? We don't want anybody telling us what to do. We don't want God telling us what to do. Our way, you can decide what you want to do. You can decide what's right and wrong. You don't have to have anybody telling you what to do. You just get to decide. And by the way, that's creeping into our churches. It's creeping into our homes, right? Young people, hey, mom and dad can't tell me what to do. I'll decide what I want to do. That's not what the Bible says, young people. The Bible says honor your father and mother. The humanist says, hey, you don't have to honor mom and dad. You don't have to listen to them. Well, you're going to choose. You're going to believe the Bible. You're going to believe what the world says, right? And so there's two sides of this again. And it's either education is going to be promoting a biblical worldview, or it's going to be promoting a secular worldview. There's no in between. It's either humanistic or it's biblical. It's either promoting the secular or it's promoting God. Humanism elevates man above Jesus Christ. We become the center of life. Education, whereas the Bible tells us that Jesus is to be the center of life and education. Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, notice in verse number 18, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence. God says that Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence in all things. In all things he is to have the preeminence. By the way, that doesn't just mean in church. Doesn't just mean in church that he's to have the preeminence. That means at home, he is to have the preeminence. That means at our work, he is to have the preeminence. That means in the education of our children, he is to have the preeminence. It needs to be about him. Not just about what we want, not just about what we think, but it needs to be about Jesus Christ. He should be the center of life. He should be the center of our education. It should be all about Jesus Christ. It's a little difficult to teach a child that Jesus should be the Lord of his life when they aren't taught that he is the Lord of the world. How do you teach a child, how do you teach a young person that Jesus needs to be the Lord of their life if they're not taught that he is the creator of the world and he's the Lord of everything? And that we need him in our lives because of who he is, right? Children are being taught an alternative view of life. Again, just think about what is being taught in the education system. I'm constantly seeing articles where people are going to school boards, irate with what is being taught in their school systems. What is being allowed in the public schools and things. Parents standing before school boards and the school board sitting there doing absolutely nothing. Nothing. Why? Because they don't care about what the parents say. They're not concerned about what the parents say. They don't want parents to have a say in the education process. Why? Because their main concern is trying to indoctrinate them into a secular, humanistic worldview. That's what they want to do. They want to be able to teach the children what they want them to know. And that's why it is so important wherever you send your children, again, whether it's public school or private or Christian or homeschool, look, you better make sure that whatever curriculum you're using, whoever's teaching, you better make sure what they're teaching. You better make sure that it's lining up with what you want your child being taught. It's not just 2 + 2 that they're learning. No, no, no. They're being taught much more than that. And if we're not conscious of it, if we're not watching and being considerate and saying, hey, I've got to be careful of what is being taught here, can I tell you something? We have a lot of Christian young people from public, Christian, private, homeschool that are moving away and just walking away from the things of God. Just walking away. Why? Well, I took him to church. Yeah, for an hour a week. And you let the world have them for 40 hours a week. And then you gave them social media, and you gave them all these other different things, and the world is doing nothing but pumping into their brains the world's philosophy. And we expect somehow an hour, or let's just say 4 hours. Let's just say they come every service. We expect somehow 4 hours in church is going to change everything that the world's trying to teach them. It's not going to work. That's why it's so important that parents are involved in what is going on. Parents are being left out of all of these things, teaching, and what is the teacher teaching? Well, we're not supposed to tell you. You call the teacher. What are you teaching my kids? Well, we can't tell you. Look, if they can't tell you what they're teaching, if you can't see what's being taught, there's a serious problem there. That's a serious problem, right? And yet we just say, well, you know, they're the teachers. You know, I'll let them teach. I don't have a teaching degree, so who am I to say what is being taught? You may not have a teaching degree, and I understand that. Look, I don't know a whole lot about biology and chemistry. I don't know a whole lot about those things. But I do know about God. And I do know about the Bible. And I do know that when some of the things that I hear being taught and things, that doesn't line up with Scripture. And we're going to have a problem with this. And whatever it is, again, whatever education system it is, if it's not lining up with Scripture, I got to do something about it for my kids. Why? It's not about me. It's about what they're teaching our children. Again, did you understand what he said here? Think about this, right? Education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism, and every American school is a school of humanism. What can a theistic Sunday school meeting for an hour once a week and teaching a fraction of the children do to stem the tide of the 5-day program of humanistic teaching? They're all in on this. They're after the children. They're after your children. They're after my children. They're after everybody's children to try to involve them in this and teach them in this. And instead of God and his word being central to their life, they're taught that self is now the center of life. It's all about you. You do what makes you happy. You follow whatever you want. And this is why they're being taught to reject ethics. They're being taught just to do what makes them happy. They're being taught to look within themselves to find their own identity. And I'm not even going to get into that. You want to find your identity? Get in this. This will show you who your identity is. You don't have to look within to find your identity. You need to get in the Word of God. That's going to show you who your identity is. You want to know who your identity is? You're a lost sinner. That's who your identity is. You need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. And when He saves us, guess what He does? He changes our life and gives us something to live for. That's where we find our identity, is in Jesus. Not in the world, not in the world's philosophies, not in humanism, not in me, but in Him. That's where we find our true identity, because again, we are created for His purpose. We're created for His glory. And we have to realize that education is one of the most powerful influences that can cause a young person to think in an unbiblical way. It's through education. And if we're not careful, if we're not guarding our children from what is being taught and making sure, hey, is this lining up with Scripture? Does what they're being taught line up with the Word of God? Can I tell you something? And again, I appreciate those that teach in public school and Christian schools and private schools and a lot of homeschool moms and dads and things. I appreciate all those, right? But again, just because somebody is homeschooled, we have homeschool parents that come that aren't even saved. They're not doing it for religious purposes, right? There's families in Christian schools who aren't saved. There's families in public schools. By the way, there's probably, I would say, probably a majority of public school teachers are probably not saved. I think I can go out on a limb and say that. I don't have a statistic about it, but I'm pretty sure I can go out on a limb and say most public school teachers are probably not saved. And that's who we're giving our children to 40 hours a week? Unsaved people that are not concerned about teaching the Word of God? Well, they're just going to teach math and science. No, they're not just going to teach math and science. They're going to try to teach your children that they don't need God, they don't need the Word of God, they're fine without all of that, just you're good, you just be who you want to be. For 13 years, they're getting this. And then you go into university, and then it's going to change, right? It's going to be all about God. No. They're going to get 4 more years plus of the very same thing. And we wonder why, by the time that a young person is their mid-20s or so, that they care nothing about God. They care nothing about church. They care nothing about the Bible. They don't care anything about God or anything like that. And we wonder why. And that's what they've had their whole life. We've just allowed it to happen and stood by and watched. Again, education is one of the most powerful influences, even sometimes stronger than peers, stronger than what they'll see on social media and things, because they're in it so much, and it causes young people to think in an unbiblical way, to turn away from God, which is why we have to constantly be aware of what is being taught to our children from the world. By the way, can I say this? And again, there's not one person that I would question about this, but I wonder when the last time you talked to your kids and said, what did you learn in Sunday school today? What did you learn in Super Church today? What did you learn in Master Club? Now, I'm very confident in all the teachers that we have, and I believe they are all teaching the Word of God. And if they're not, they will be removed, right? But why do we think, well, they're in church, so they're just going to be taught the Word of God? Why aren't we, again, checking and making sure that what is being taught is biblical, is right? I tell you all the time, you better check and make sure what I'm teaching is right. Why aren't we checking even our Sunday school? Now the Sunday school teachers and Master Club and Super Church, they're like all worried now. Oh, no. Look, you got nothing to be worried about because you're teaching the Word of God. But we ought to be concerned about what our children are being taught. Because through the education system, they are being taught a humanistic, secular worldview that cares nothing about God and is trying to turn their hearts away from God. And as Christians, if we have Christian young people, again, no matter what education system they're in, that's our responsibility as parents to make sure that what is being taught is in line with God's word. And if it's not, We just going to let it keep going? If it's not in line with the Word of God, maybe we need to do something about it and say, hold on, wait a minute, this isn't right. And if it's not going to change, then we're going to have to look for another avenue to make sure that our children are being taught the right things. Can I ask you a question? And again, I'm not trying to be smart alecky here. What's more important for your children? And again, I'm not trying to be smart alecky here, right? But what's more important for your children, to get a high school diploma or to have a close walk with God? Now, I can't answer that for you. You have to answer that for you, right? But for me, I would much rather my children have a close walk with God and care about the things of God than to have some type of biology degree, to have some type of other degree. You know what? I don't care about that. That's not what's important. We have allowed the world to trick us into think that, man, if they don't get a diploma, if they don't get a degree, they're going to fail in life. Can I tell you something? If your children are following God and they love God and they're walking with God, I think they'll be a success in life. They'll be a success the way God wants them to be a success. But we've allowed the world to make us think that if it's only that way, only if they have a diploma, only if they graduate from high school, and only if they get a college degree, that's the only way they're going to be successful. If it's that and them walking away from God, I'd rather them not have that and stay close to God. But do we really care about our children that much? To really invest in them and take the time to follow up and find out what is being taught and what they're learning and making sure that it's lining up with Scripture. You know why many times we don't do that? Is because we're not taking the time to get in the Word of God ourselves and make sure that what they're being taught really does line up with the Word of God. Look, you don't have to be a pastor or a missionary to be able to check and say, hey, does this line up with Scripture? Just look at the Word of God. You know what the Bible says about creation. You know what the Bible says about salvation. You know what the Bible says about the fall of man. You know what the Bible says about those things. You know what God says. What are they saying? What's the world saying about it? And if it's not lining up, we got a serious problem. Because there's not a middle way. No. There's no middle ground here. It's either secular, humanistic, or it's biblical, following the Word of God. And that's why, whether it's in our homes, in our church, in education, we have got to make sure that we're helping our children to learn the Word of God so they can develop a right biblical worldview. Because again, when they get out on their own, hey, the world's going to come at them. And they need to be prepared. And we need to help prepare them to stay close to God. Even Jesus says, I didn't take you out of the world. I left you in the world. You're in the world, right? Just don't be the world. Don't be the world. That's what we're trying to prepare them for. We're just trying to prepare our children to be in the world, but not be the world. To be that light to the world that they might see Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, just to take the responsibility as parents that we need in recognizing we have been given a responsibility by you to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in our homes, to be evangelizing them, discipling them, through the church to come along and help that. But Lord, many times in the education process, we don't think a lot about it, and yet, Lord, the world knows that through the education process, they're trying to evangelize. They're trying to proselytize and pull young people into their view of and way of thinking, in that humanistic, secular worldview. And Lord, I pray you to help us to realize and be careful of the dangers of education. Again, there's not one perfect education system. In every one of these, whether it's public or private or Christian or homeschool, we have to be careful of the dangers of the education system and what they're trying to teach our children, and making sure that it's in agreement and alignment with God's word. And so, Father, I pray you to help us in this and help parents to take the right responsibility in this and the right diligence. Help grandparents to get involved in this as well. Help grandparents to help in discipling their grandchildren and checking and making sure that what they're being taught is in line with the Word of God. Lord, we want our young people, we want our children to love you. We want them to serve you and follow you. You've given us the responsibility to teach them and to train them and to help them. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us to do that, be obedient to what you've commanded us to do. Lord, that we would raise up the next generation of young people that have a desire to serve you, that love you with all their heart and want to be obedient to you and to follow you and wherever you would lead, that you would get the glory in all that we do. So, Father, I pray you'd help us in this. Lord, it's so vital, it's so important. Help us in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.